thanks for tuning in to Go to Market Radio. Every episode, we'll be getting up close and personal with GTM leaders and experts so you can learn the secrets of their success. Looking to take your team to the next level? You're in the right place. Every week, we're bringing you an exclusive podcast from the Alliance Archives that highlights a core aspect of GTM. If you love this episode as much as we do, make sure to subscribe and we'll keep you up to date with all the latest on our channel.
Hello and welcome back to CMO Diaries, the show where we look at how CMOs are tackling their most recent projects, along with plenty of advice and insights for you to do the same. We're back with Aidan Casey, CMO of Paintru, and today we're talking email marketing, particularly how to improve your open, click-through, and conversion rates. Hi, Aidan. Welcome back to CMO Diaries. How are you doing today?
Hi, Will. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for agreeing to speak to me again.
Of course.
And it's going to be on a subject that is very important to many CMOs, because we're talking about email marketing, particularly how to improve that open and conversion rate, because that's the big aim usually for the email marketing. But before we get into that, let's maybe break down why is it important to have a good email marketing system in place in this day and age. Like, if people think of all these new channels with all the bells and whistles, like social media, like TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff, mm-hmm. as being like the things that need to be focused on. But email marketing, it's like the old workhorse that just keeps delivering results, particularly for B2B, which I'm quite familiar with. But I'd like to hear about your perspective on why it's important to D2C channels.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll start off by saying I have completely shifted my mindset around email marketing over the past year and a half or so that I've been with Paintru. I used to hate email marketing, really. I would kind of like push it off to anyone on my team who was willing to pick it up. And I really decided that when I started with Paintru, I was going to kind of like really dig in, kind of nerd out and like learn how to leverage it. Data shows that email has one of the highest conversion rates of any platform, especially in the e-commerce space. So I realized that for Paintru, especially our product being kind of a novel solution, direct-to-consumer custom artwork, there's a lot of education that needs to happen. And our buying cycle is very long. And email is a great channel to nurture leads, answer any questions that they have, and also give them project inspiration. We've talked about this quite a bit in previous episodes and just conversations you and I have had, but for our content strategy for Paintru, one key component of it is inspiration. People don't know what they can have until you kind of share a different project. So for us, it's inspiring our customers and potential customers with different painting ideas. So whether it's, hey, have that travel photo painted, or this is a wonderful Valentine's Day gift for your significant other. Like, people just don't know what they can have painted until you kind of tell them and kind of open that communication. So all of those factors come into play with our email strategy. And it's just such an effective channel because we have such a long buying cycle. We have to have all of those brand touch points and really education to drive home, you know, like what we can do and keep people inspired.
And it's one of the channels where I feel like people are most willing to have this kind of like lengthy, long-winded conversations where they're able to like drop back in and out between it. You can't really do that over social media. You can't really do that over other channels. And I think it's because we, for better or worse, I think people accept marketing on email more than they do in other channels. It feels less intrusive because it's your email. We've been getting like email marketing for a long time now. Yes. So it's, we're okay with getting like personalized targeted emails and stuff like that. If we start getting like personalized targeted like social media messages from brands, that's when it starts getting a bit, ooh, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, what's nice about emails, people are used to receiving emails. It's also a challenge though. It's like, how do you cut through the clutter? You know, I personally have, I use Gmail for my personal email, but I have loads of promotions and updates that come through. And so I always, every time I'm creating an email, look at it through the lens of how am I going to enrich the recipient's day, which is, we're very fortunate. We're a fine art company. So we have all these beautiful paintings and projects we can share. So I like to think that our emails are really fun and beautiful and really aesthetic to look at. So I'm always thinking, okay, how do I, one, kind of enrich the user's day by sending this email? Obviously I need to get them to click on the email first. So then that comes in my subject line copywriting. And then also like how do we get to the intent of the email? So a lot of our emails are just kind of like project inspiration. But some emails, you know, if we have a sale going on or if we have a certain type of promotion or a new product, we need to get that point across quickly. So how do I make sure that the user, you know, knows, or the consumer knows what the email is for, and we get that point across quickly? Because, you know, most people skim emails these days, even if they do open it. So
yeah, because as you said, you just get so many emails, like particularly a lot of people have like their work emails being forwarded to their personal emails as well, so you've got all that mess to get through as well. So that is like the main challenge, is just to get people to open your emails initially.
Yeah, and that's subject line. I think like the subject line is this tiny bit of text, but it carries so much weight in your email program, because if you have a poor subject line, no one's going to open the email. So I mean, my team kind of laughs at me sometimes, like I'll spend like a lot of time on my subject lines, but we have pretty good email open rate, so it's that time is worthwhile. I try to be really fun and conversational too. I think, and again, just like laddering up to building a brand, it's so important to be consistent in your voice and the way you talk to your customers across all channels. But I do really try to keep our email pretty upbeat and conversational. So nothing too technical. I like to have them kind of fun, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're inspiring people to be creative and we have such a creative product. So like I sent an email last Thursday, and it was kind of a roundup of customer reviews from orders that were placed around the holidays, like 3 different reviews. So the subject line I used was "Help, we're covered in stars." And no, we don't mean Starry Night. So it's like those opportunities where like that is playful, but it's still on brand for us as an art company. So yeah, I mean, I love email marketing now, and it did take me a while, but like once I dug into it and really started learning and kind of nerding out and analyzing things and just like getting inspiration from other email programs, it's kind of turned into one of my favorite channels. And as we grow as a company, email is probably one of the first things that I should delegate to someone else, because it's not really something that like the CMO can be still running, but I will admit it'll be a little hard for me to like let that off my plate, just because I enjoy them. I enjoy writing them. And I love hearing the feedback from customers, like what customers respond and comment on the emails and say like, "Great email, love this," and that kind of thing. So it's very satisfying. And of course, when the sales come through from the emails, that is the ultimate goal.
Awesome. So let's talk about like the open rate process, because there's a lot of different data around, a lot of different studies been done about what makes for like a really, really effective subject line, and when like distribution, when do you need to send the emails and stuff like that. That's important when it comes to open rate. Like let's start with sending the emails, because that's sort of like the step one of getting onto someone's radar that they're going to open the emails. Like, do you have like certain times that you send it to? Like, with D2C, how important are the times that you send these types of emails?
Yeah, you know, I've found the best open rate sending either around, like, I always send per the recipient's time zone. So around 7:45 to 8:45 a.m. So it hits their inbox when they're doing their kind of morning sweep of their personal. Or I have pretty good open rates if I send around noon as well, which I would assume, and I'm sure data points to it, people typically will go back and check their personal email around lunchtime. I will send emails Sunday morning sometimes around like 10 or 11, which those have fairly good open rates as well. But yeah, I typically try to avoid any like afternoon or evening, just because the likelihood of that email getting buried by other emails, and then like the next morning when someone's checking their email, it just kind of popped way down there. That's what I've found. I think it probably differs. I can't remember. It's been a while for me since I was working in B2B, but I feel like there's been some studies that B2B emails sometimes evenings, like late afternoon to evening, is pretty effective. But yeah, for us, I try to do the morning. And if I'm working on an email and putting some final touches on it and need to send it a little bit later in the morning, I don't think it's really the biggest deal. But I'm kind of fortunate. So I am in the UK and our customer base is in the US. So, you know, I'm up at like I have everything scheduled, you know, and set. So I have this whole like morning that I can be like fine tuning the emails before I even schedule it. And just because of that 8 to 5 hour time difference.
Nice. And then the next step, once it's in the inbox, it's in at the right time. It's the attractive subject line, like you said. It's sort of conversational tone. But there's been studies done with like, do you include like people's names in the subject lines?
Emojis? No.
Like some people have said like emojis are effective way.
I use emojis a lot. Another kind of, I think, a component of the open rate is the preview text, which I do think that some brands don't leverage to the extent that they could, because a lot of people skim emails and you see that subject line in preview text, especially how Gmail formats things. So the preview text is this other like amazing spot where you can really tell people and intrigue them like what is going to be in the meat of that email. So typically, like if we're having a promotion going on, I'll have like a catchy, fun subject line that's relevant to the promotion. And then I use that preview text to immediately ensure that people know that, for example, there's a 15% off code inside. And people do see that right away as well. But yeah, I do use a lot of emojis, not all the time. But yeah, I guess my thinking on not using someone's name, I do use someone's name. We do send some emails in like a plain text version. So I leverage a mix of like marketing branded emails and also some direct outreach, especially from our three founders. And in those ones, I will use the name, but those ones I'm very careful about. So plain text emails for us, we have about a 40% open rate on those. But I think it's really important like not to abuse that. Because if we start sending plain text emails like every week, people like the importance factor, like the uniqueness factor will be lost. So for those ones, you know, I will address first name, but that's typically a very segmented group of customers that we're sending them to. An instance where I typically do use a first name in the email and the subject is when we are emailing a very like niche, maybe like a VIP group or someone who's ordered within the last 5 days or something like that, because that segment, you know, is super small and we are speaking to them on a more personal level. But, you know, people are smart. They know that a marketing email is being broadcasted to everyone. So I feel like it's a little disingenuous to have the first name in something like that, where I'm like, oh, here's some awesome paintings that we did over the holidays. You know, people know that that's going out to everyone, not directly to them. So.
Yeah. The novelty of like a brand knowing your name is kind of worn off now, hasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, that's been around for ages, you know, fall for that. But when it's a direct email, like there's some, like I purchased something from a clothing company and there was like the follow-up thank you was kind of like a plain text direct from founder. That felt, you know, natural to have my first name in there. But again, that is like a direct plain text email.
Yeah. So it's like automated emails where it's like responding to your actions as a customer or as like a potential customer. If you've taken certain actions on the site and you get an email as a result of that, having that be personalized and targeted.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense.
So that is an area too that I think is very important for email, if you do want me to touch on that one quickly, especially being an e-commerce brand, our automated email sequences are so important. We spent a lot of time and energy dialing those in last year. So we have a welcome series for someone who has already subscribed and has now just purchased, and then also like a new subscriber welcome. That one, I think we have 11 emails in that series right now. Because again, like our buying cycles, it's such a long decision-making process and there's so much information that we need to share. So we have a really nice, like about 3 to 5 day cadence that those ones will go out. We have a drifting customer re-engagement sequence. We have a lost customer re-engagement sequence. We have like a new lead sequence. So anyone who's like live chatted with us and had a conversation, our concierge team will, you know, mark them as a lead. So they get a pretty personal sequence as well. And those ones are so important. And we've just found those have a really big impact on our business. And we get a lot of purchases from the Welcome Series, which is great. And it's something we also have a Welcome Series on our SMS as well. So they are different, yet some of the content is similar. We just want to answer everyone's questions, you know, so that they feel confident in purchasing from us. And then they also feel inspired.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So we've got the emails open. What do your emails look like? Like what format do you go? You said you use like a mix of format. Like how many images do you use? Obviously you've got quite a few like beautiful images to share. Like, do you go very image heavy?
Yes, we do. And I know there's a slight risk in that. So some email providers will like block the images at first, but it's a risk that I'm willing to take just because our product is so visual. So typically, and I can send you a couple of sample emails after this, if you're not signed up for our email list already. So typically I have like a big full bleed image of a painting with our logo atop it, and then a big headline. And then I actually do like a drag and drop editor. So I have text within the email, which that has higher deliverability. Than having like a text in an image. I'm actually working on getting some new HTML editable templates now so that text will all come through. And then very image heavy. So typically we're sharing, whether it's like a review we're writing, whether it's a sale, a new product, gift ideas, different painting ideas, any of that, it all really goes back to what the paintings are. So I would say even our review emails, I'll typically include the painting that someone is leaving the review about. So very image heavy. And again, it also goes back to like my thinking around the intent and the purpose of our email program. Like I want something beautiful that people want to read. And if people aren't interested in seeing art, then they're welcome to unsubscribe. And that actually just strengthens our email content or our email list moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not interested in seeing art, then they're probably not going to be your customers at the end
of the day. Yeah, exactly. I consider it like a list cleaning a bit. So like we do that on SMS and email. So we're very upfront in our Welcome Series and those emails are beautiful. There's a lot of art in them. And if someone's not interested, then they'll unsubscribe. And, you know, unsubscribes are just kind of natural, really. So I don't see that is a bad thing, but I do like go back and look. If I had a huge unsubscribe percentage on like a certain type of content, you know, we have to take that into account, and that's not content that our audience is interested in.
But then the churn, as you said, it can be helpful in sort of like purging people from purge is probably a too strong word, but getting rid of the people
cleans them.
Getting rid of the people that could potentially get you flagged as spam or something like that. Because that's always a danger, isn't it, with email marketing? If too many people are ignoring your emails or flagging the emails, then your entire system, your entire like domain name could be flagged as spam whenever you send stuff out. So having that process where you get rid of sort of the dead wood is an important part of managing a good email marketing system.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say too that one of our big goals is to increase our subscriber list because we see a pretty good conversion rate on that community that we build. And I like to think of it as a community. It's someone who's, you know, we're having a conversation with those customers or potential customers or subscribers who are engaged. We have about a like 50% engagement rate, which, you know, I actually haven't looked at that against benchmarks, but I consider that pretty good. So that's people opening like most all emails. It is developing like a relationship with them as a customer, and especially if they're subscribed to us on SMS as well, that just strengthens it, because I think it's what people typically purchase after seeing your brand 11 times. There could be updated data on this since I last looked, but email is just another one of those touch points. It just keeps us top of mind.
When it comes to the content as well, email is a really good channel for split testing, for A/B testing. Like how much do you dive into that when it comes to the type of images you use, the type of content, subject lines you use and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be completely honest. I probably don't A/B test as much as I should. I do A/B test subject lines. A/B testing is a little tough sometimes because you have to make sure that you're being diligent about like collecting the feedback that you're getting from those A/B tests. So I do A/B test subject lines just to kind of get a sense for like Does humor work better or does urgency work better? It gets sometimes it's like pretty time consuming to be testing and then taking all that feedback and moving forward. So I guess I've learned like which subject lines like work better for us, just kind of qualitatively looking or quantitatively looking at those numbers from the tests I do, but I actually don't really test the content, and I should just, you know, CMO at a startup, a lot of hats that I wear.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's something you can, when you do get to the position where you can like have someone else taking over the reins, that's when they can start probably diving into it, I suppose. I mean, that's the whole point of being a CMO in a startup. You've hired people to do the job better than you're able to do it yourself, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I am definitely data driven. So like when we get to that point, like I'm going to want to see the numbers, and, you know, data over ego is something that I always try to come back to. Even if I personally think that something is better, like let's look at the data and what does the data say? Because that at the end of the day is how you improve your program.
Definitely. Definitely. Speaking of data and knowing where to place things, what about CTAs on the email page? Have you played around with where you place your CTAs, your calls to action and stuff like that when it comes to getting those conversion rates? Because that's the ultimate, it's not just about getting people to read the email, you want them to do something with it at the end of the day.
Yeah, right? You know, I try to make sure that I have a CTA at least like above the fold on desktop, which is probably like one scroll down on mobile, and also my an image that is not, so like a product highlight image, I like to not link those because a lot of times people like to click them to zoom and check out the painting. But other images, like I'll always make sure there's a link there because a lot of people do just click the image expecting that to take them to the site. So I'm careful about that. But yeah, if it's a long email, there's at least three CTAs in that email. And the call to action, I also make sure is really relevant for the segment. So I segment my emails. I would say I always segment purchasers versus non-purchasers. And a lot of times I'll segment further into like VIP customers and multiple purchases, abandoned carts, et cetera. So I make sure the call to action is relevant. So for a non-purchaser, it's something like create your masterpiece, like get started on your first project, upload your photo and match with an artist. And then for repeat customers, I'm typically saying something along the lines of start your next masterpiece or get inspired for your next piece of artwork, something like that, because I do want to make sure that we're speaking to our customers like they already are a customer, because they are. And I think that's, you know, why email segmentation is so important and effective.
Yeah, let's dive a bit more into segmentation, because the studies on the effectiveness of segmented email lists are huge. Like the amount of impact it can have in terms of just making quite simple segmentations, mm-hmm. Stuff that seems fairly obvious, but the actual act of doing that with your email list can be really powerful. So did you already have those segments in place when you were starting out, or was that something that you've really brought in?
We built that last year when we built out. The email automations is very complex. I will never say that it's simple. Like there's a lot of great email platforms out there that can help, but it takes time, but it definitely pays off. So we created different segments. So the drifting customers, lost customers, VIP, loyalists, big spenders, all of those segments. And also we of course have a lot of different like purchase timing segments. So purchase within the last 3 days, purchase within the last week, purchase within the last 3 weeks, purchase within the last 2 months, because sometimes it can take like 6 to 8 weeks before the painting is finished and delivered, just depending on the revisions. So I'm not going to hit someone with a promotion who just ordered like a week ago, you know, like that's not a good customer experience. So I'm really careful about that. And then a lot of times if I'm emailing, if I'm creating my customer email segment, I will actually exclude people who purchased one time only within the last 2 months, because I don't really want to talk to them yet like they've received their product. So I find that important. And then also we use HubSpot. So there's a tool to only send to your engaged contacts. And I'm not exactly sure how they calculate it, but I think it's like engaged with like X percent of your previous emails. And like I said, our engagement rate is about 50% of our non-customers. So some emails, I will uncheck that box, and I want everyone to get it. I want to give those unengaged customers like another opportunity to engage with us. And then other emails, like a lot of more of the like project inspiration or just like sharing something beautiful, that kind of thing, I'll only send to our engaged customer, because that's a way to like boost our email credibility. And I just think that like, if you're not engaged with our emails, what you probably care about is critical information and promotions. So I send those to those people, and I'll send reviews to everyone as well to give those unengaged contacts another opportunity to check out our stuff.
Yeah, using a bit of the FOMO kind of philosophy, isn't it, with that kind of approach?
Exactly.
So what are the metrics that you focus on when it comes to deciding what makes a good email marketing system? Like what metrics? You touched on it a little bit. We've talked about open rate and conversion rates. Is there anything else that you really think that is important when it comes to deciding if an email is done well, if an email marketing campaign is doing well, even?
Yeah, I mean, click-through rate, definitely. If the email is trying to trigger an action, like if I'm sharing a new blog or trying to inspire non-customers to upload a photo and get started, click-through rate is important. And I always look at that. Also the unsubscribe rate, I do look at, like I mentioned before, like if I have a huge unsubscribe rate on a certain email, I have to step back and say, okay, what type of content was this email? Clearly a large segment of people were not interested in this, so that needs to be accounted for moving forward.
Yeah, because you learn just as much from, I don't want to say failures, but like things that haven't gone as well as the stuff that goes really well.
If you just, exactly,
yeah. So
I think sometimes you learn more from failures. So
definitely, like especially with like, I don't want to say it's imprecise when it comes to like how engaged people are with an email, but you know straight away if people don't like something, if you're relying just on like, oh, the conversion rate all the way through, you're not seeing a different perspective on like what's effective and what's not effective when it comes to your emails.
Yeah, exactly. Another one that I look at quite often is our welcome series. So I mentioned we have about 11 emails in that series currently. And I look at, so in HubSpot, you can set the goal is basically if someone purchases, that goal is achieved and they no longer need to be in this welcome series. So I look at the percent goal met in each of those emails. And for example, like I threw in an email a couple months ago that I thought was great. And I think it's like email 8. There's been no purchases off that email, but there have been purchases on all the other emails. So that's, you know, like data over ego. I'm like, this email is not as effective as other ones, so I need to consider replacing that with something else, or, you know, removing it and then slotting in another email. And something I do a lot is if I'll create an email that either people love, you know, my team customers, that has great open rates, goal conversion rates, I'll actually just like throw that into our welcome series and repurpose emails that way. Because, you know, most of our emails, like I mentioned, are product education and inspiration. So most all emails we send would be relevant to like slot in that welcome series if it's an email that we think that'll help people convert. Awesome. Or understand our product more.
Yeah, awesome. So what's next with your email system? Do you have plans on like where you want to develop it in the future, or where you want to, any directions you want to focus on in sort of improving, or are you fairly happy with like how things are looking at the moment?
You know, I'm refreshing our templates right now, which I mentioned. So I'm going to work on getting like a full HTML, like instead of a drag and drop. Just, you know, as we evolve as a brand, you know, I think our emails look great as is, but I know we can make them better. So I had our designer design a few email templates for me that I wouldn't have coded. So that hopefully should improve some of the deliverability at times, just because our emails are pretty image heavy. And I am planning on revisiting a lot of our automation. So our drifting customer re-engage, our lost customer re-engage, those ones, you know, they've been up and running for several months now and we need to revisit those. Mm-hmm. And then also I'll probably assess, you know, can we segment further? Are there any other segments that we might be neglecting that we could create a sequence for? That kind of thing. I think as far as like email cadence, I typically send 2 a week. We'll probably keep with that. So I think a big one is revisiting a lot of those segments. The welcome series we kind of constantly revisit. So I'm pretty comfortable with where that one's at. But you know, like the drifting customer reengage, I definitely need to revisit that one because that's such a like critical segment too, is like capturing people and like converting them from customers into loyalists by encouraging more projects and soliciting feedback, that kind of thing.
Definitely. Awesome. So let's talk about what resources are out there for people to really learn how to get good at email marketing, particularly as a CMO, not just sitting there, like thinking about like the broad grand strategy. I know you said you use HubSpot and they're always a great resource for this kind of thing, but is there anything else that you found really helpful in developing this system?
You know, I actually will recommend a podcast, E-commerce Marketing School. It's by Ben, I think Jabaway is how you pronounce his last name. He was the founder of Privy, which is an email system. We actually don't use Privy, but I have found his podcast incredibly helpful. They're like bite-sized nuggets from like 4 minutes to about 25 minutes an episode. I listen to that a lot. And even if it's, you know, he talks to specific brands that work with Privy a lot, even if it's something completely irrelevant from our business, there's still tidbits that are really helpful. So I listen to that a lot. There's a book called, I Can Open, or it might just be called Open. It's that I read, that's pretty good. And I also think that just getting in the head of your customer, for us, like we're D2C, so like I am a customer. I look at my email inbox from a marketing, like with my marketing hat on every single day. So like taking a step back and realizing and recognizing like what emails are effective for you, because that is every single time you open an email and you are engaging with the content or you like it or it drives an action, you know, you should be taking note of those little tactics that they're using. And I get a lot of inspiration from other brands. And again, even if they're not like relevant to my business per se, there's a wealth of knowledge just sitting in your promotions and your updates tab. So.
Definitely. And I think we can take that last point, sort of like the golden rule when it comes to email marketing, isn't it? Getting into the mind of your customers. Like you said at the beginning, you want the email that you're sending to be something they're looking for, that brightens up the day, that they're looking forward to.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then any other golden rules you want to throw out there, just as one last thing?
You know, check your links. Taking an extra 5 or 10 minutes to QC your email will save you so much heartache and stress. And you know, also I think that for people who are kind of new in email marketing, it's scary when you like create this email and send it. You're kind of like, okay, like, am I going to schedule it? Am I going to send it? And you get more comfortable with it as time goes on, you get better at it. I mean, like I mentioned, I didn't really enjoy email marketing and it was definitely a challenge for me previously. And now, like I said, I love it. But that being said, like you do get faster, but take an extra 5-10 minutes, QC your email, check your links. And sometimes if there's a little typo in there, your customers probably won't notice and they will forgive you. But I had one email that went out that had the wrong link in it. And that was, you know, very disappointing for me because I like to consider myself a good QC-er. So I guess that's another good tip. And also get feedback from your team too. Make sure that your entire team is signed up for your emails and they should be looking at them every single time. And I welcome feedback all the time for my team members. And I make them know that, you know, if they don't love an email or if they are like, if they miss, maybe they don't think the subject line's great or they think that there's like a better way it could have been presented, like, please let me know. And I think that, you know, open feedback is great. And I also encourage like all my friends to sign up for our emails too. And again, that is because we're D2C. So like anyone, you know, in my network could be a potential customer. So I'm like forcing all my friends to sign up for our emails and be like, let me know what you think, especially the welcome flow too. I have probably like 10 or 12 of my friends or like previous colleagues in marketing that I have like signed up for our welcome flow. And I'm like, give me feedback. Like, what do you still have questions after you've gone through this like 4-week email series? Are you confused about anything? Is anything like completely irrelevant? Like, let me know. Cause you have, you know, this network that can give you a lot of feedback, especially if you're D2C. And if you're B2B, I think that leaning on your teammates, or if you have any like previous colleagues or anyone who like fits the persona of your target lead or customer, enroll them in the welcome series and ask for feedback as well.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm glad you mentioned B2B at the end there, because as I said at the top of the episode, B2B and email marketing, like they are intrinsically linked. You can't have B2B marketing without email marketing. So I think a lot of the stuff we touched on today, even though we're talking from a D2C perspective, I think a lot of it is very relevant to B2B.
Yeah, and going back to my experience in B2B, I worked for a health tech platform for years. And again, I kind of offloaded the email marketing to another team member. But email is such a great channel for education. So I mentioned education and like educating our potential customers, but in a B2B email sequence as well, especially if it's like if you work on a SaaS platform, any sort of like technology, like you need people using your technology, and email is like a great way to, you know, keep your brand top of mind so that they're using your technology and using it correctly and are aware of like any new features or anything like that that comes out. Like as an example, I use Grammarly, which I love. It's a great platform. Send I think 2 emails a week, some like really kind of great language tips, and also anytime there's like a platform improvement or something new, they send out an email about it, and that, you know, make sure that I have Grammarly installed everywhere and I'm using it, and I'm also aware of like what's new, because people, you know, they don't know what's new unless you tell them, and email is an effective way to do that.
Definitely, definitely. I think that's a great note to end on there, Aidan. Thank you very much for joining us again for CMO Diaries. Another great episode, a really really important episode. As I said, email marketing is absolutely essential, and I think our audience is going to find our conversation very valuable today. So thank you very much.
Great. Aidan. Well, thank you for having me, and hopefully I inspired some of you to really dig deeper in your email marketing program.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you once again, Aidan. And thank you to all our listeners for listening. We'll be back soon with another CMO Diary.